welcome to this special edition of Label Sessions Presents. In this series, we spotlight the people and the ideas shaping the new accelerators at Label Sessions and explore the bigger shifts happening in the world around them. Today's conversation is with Nihal Hashish, a senior leader in procurement with deep experience in transforming supply chains and driving more responsible procurement practices inside global brands. We also have Nick Sherrard, director at Label Sessions, here too. So welcome both of you. Nihal, how are you doing? I know that you're kind of based in Egypt, but you've been traveling quite a bit on business. How have things been, and how are kind of, what have you been seeing in your part of the world?
Thank you. Hi, Keisha. So everyone, I'm great, doing great. It's a bit, the weather, I mean, is the unusual for this time of the year. So it just talks a lot about global warming and what, and all the climate disruptions we're facing the supply chain. So you can imagine. Yes, been doing a lot of traveling and a lot of meetings over the past periods. I mean, and this is, you know, how things are in this field. A lot of moving parts, and you need to, you know, go with the flow and be a bit agile.
And Nick, yourself, you, I know we mentioned that it's sunny in Scotland for once. Maybe that is due to global warming.
It's actually sunny for once in Scotland. And actually, it's interesting for this podcast. I was just thinking, as you were saying that now, is like, until quite recently, the outside perception of procurement was that it was quite a static kind of world. Whereas it does seem like where every boardroom I'm going into just now, the number one issue pretty much is supply chain resilience, like kind of quite big questions around how you manage and how you do procurement. I don't know whether it feels like it because you've been a leader in this space for a while, but I feel like the perception of procurement has changed quite radically in the last sort of 18 months, right?
100%. I mean, it's one thing I wanted to talk about. I mean, we were always operational, you know, just enablers to the business. But now we're more than that. We have a seat on the table. We're more of a driver, an engine driver. We enable the businesses and bring in whatever is outside from innovations, latest market dynamics, and help businesses move forward.
Yeah, it's really just time, I think.
And so, Nihal, I mean, to kind of introduce your accelerator a little bit, it's obviously focused on procurement and supply chain innovation. I wonder, kind of, we're mentioning that the world is slightly changing a little bit in the way that they handle it. But what inspired you to start kind of challenging traditional models, let's say, and kind of push for something more dynamic and forward looking?
Thanks, Keisha. So as I mentioned, it's a fast moving world, and post COVID, everything has been moving at speed of light, and we wanted to ensure that we're faster to respond to that. We don't want to be any more slow. And then with all the geopolitical tensions and everything that's happening, be it COVID, what happened in the Red Sea, the Gaza conflict, all this has resulted that we need to be more resilient. We need to be faster and agile to face all this. On top of that, I mean, you look at strategic procurement, it's very much, as I said, needed now. We're no longer operational, but we have a seat in the table. And we need to bring in more innovations, think outside of the box, think long-term, how can we support? And then last but not least is sustainability. Anyone that is not sustainable now will not get a chance in the future. They would risk being still available in the future. So this is also where we as a procurement need to play a role. We need to think more sustainably. We need to think of the bigger picture and not just look at savings, but look what can we drive as a bigger overall value.
It's interesting that now, they're like, to some level, that could just sound overwhelming to some people. I mean, how do you think around that range of things? Like, how do you even approach that?
I mean, when you look at it this way, yeah, it can be a lot of words, a lot of things to do, and it's just too much. But it's all about, you know, empowerment and talking to the teams, bringing them in from the start, breaking down the silos, talk to your cross-functional teams, align them, bring them in from day one. It's about partnerships internally and externally with your suppliers. Also, because you act as an ambassador for your company in the outside world and vice versa. You act as suppliers' ambassador inside your company. So how bringing all those and involving everyone in from firsthand, thinking, you know, asking, being curious and so on, and being proactive and strategic, all this would help make things easier. I mean, it's not a one-man job. It's not a one-function job, actually. It's a full ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Are you conscious that, I mean, has even your approach changed in that? Because it used to be very much that procurement was quite a, like you say, like a one-function operation. Whereas now, even your language you're using about being proactive and collaborative, it's kind of, you're kind of pulling people together to try and solve problems that are moving all the time. It just seems like a very different model of what a procurement leader is now compared to what it was in the past.
100%. 100%. I mean, back in the day, I mean, we were the big bad wolves for the suppliers that come in and just, you know, punch them, savings, cut on your costs, do this, do that, and we don't care what's happening. Where we found out that this will take you so far. I mean, because at the end, what's going to happen is suppliers would just inflate their prices, knowing that you're going to come in, negotiate, and give you whatever is realistic. But looking at this collaboratively, I mean, we saw that this brings much more to the table. And it's, you just don't look at the price, but you look, okay, what can we do together to further reduce the bottom line costs?
Yeah.
Also, same goes with the with your counterparts or the other functions internally. I mean, you can do so little with the suppliers if no one internally wants to go ahead with it. So also, I mean, is it, do we want to push our agenda down people's throats, or do we want them to be empowered and feel that they also have a say in this and we want to do this together?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Really interesting.
I think it's one of those things that it can sound quite scary. And when you talk about supply chain and procurement and all the things that can be affecting that, it's a lot of people potentially drawing back. But I wonder, you know, where do you see the most exciting opportunities to bring up? And, you know, how do we rethink the way we kind of design and kind of build these operating systems for the future that is almost potentially hopeful or kind of exciting rather than the other way?
Thanks. I mean, how do we look at it? I mean, it's, we need to make sure that we want to think from a circular economical standpoint. How can we be from the start looking at sustainability and embedding it into our supply chain or our model and what we source? Second one is also, how can we be agile? How can we have BCPs and be resilient? Third thing I would think of is AI. I mean, now AI is the thing, the big new buzzword, but it's also how do you manage it or use it smartly? Do you use it to do all the legwork and then rely on humans to drive the strategy and focus on the strategy and innovation?
Justin. Now, one thing we hear a lot is, you know, sometimes from procurement leaders, to be fair, but generally from leaders in big companies just now in the rest of the world, who kind of say, hey, you know, sustainability is really important, but we're facing loads of changes just now. And so we kind of like, it's too much to take on. And then I'm just listening to you speak, you know, sitting in a business that's got a crazy complex supply chain, right in the center of where there's maximum disruption to that happening just now in terms of the logistics going around, like the supply to the Middle East and elsewhere. And you seem quite confident talking about marrying out these different things. So still talking about sustainability, still talking about supply diversity in the midst of massive disruption. Like, what do you think is the reason why you, and you must be getting some pressure from some people just to go, hey, just keep it simple. Just go and look at cost again for a while. Like how do you deal with those challenges? And why do you think you seem quite confident, almost bullish, taking on all of this? And some other leaders are kind of, you know, not quite waving the white flag, but they're kind of going, hey, maybe we need to keep things simple for a while. Like, what's the difference?
You're 100% right. I mean, when you talk to a lot of business leaders, I mean, and you go in with sustainability agenda, they tell you, if it comes with a cost, I don't want it.
Yeah.
No. When you look at consumers nowadays or customers, I mean, consumer is at the heart of everything. We do everything for our consumers at the end. And they want to see corporates do the change they want to see in the world. They look at us now to be corporate citizens.
Yeah.
And especially looking at Gen Z now, they're even more conscious and aware. And they, I mean, we've already ruined a lot of the climate and environment the past couple of years, and they don't want to do that to the further future generations and even for themselves, because they see the ripple effect. We see it even now. So more and more companies that do not think of sustainability and do not have it in their embedded in their operations have a chance or a risk of getting canceled later on.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And investors, especially if you look at publicly listed companies, investors also focus on this because they know what consumers want. They have all these, you know, market researches, data, and so on. So they look at it. The trick is also, or the trick would be, is setting realistic goals, because a lot of companies go in and say these big numbers or big claims, we will be net zero in the next 5 years. Great. But how will you do that? Especially in some parts of the world, they're not as advanced as the US or Europe, North America or Europe. I mean, where I sit in Africa or in the Middle East, we have some sustainability initiatives, but would it help with all, I mean, with the full scope? Not yet. Also, I mean, looking at your supply chain, I mean, you need to also look at, when you say net zero, it's not just what you, the emissions that are in your facility, but it also scope 3, which is the emissions of your suppliers. And then if you look at it, suppliers. So you need to make sure also that suppliers are part of this journey. So before going and setting such targets, ambitious targets, we need to sit down and understand where are we. Be curious. Talk to our suppliers. Talk to supply chain folks. Talk to procurement. Understand, guys, if we want to do this commitment, how much will it cost us? How feasible is it? And so on.
Mm. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because I really like your point, which is, there's a lot of chief execs who might be saying right now, if sustainability comes with a cost, I don't want it. But the thing that we need to point out to them is that that option comes with a massive risk, which is, one, the danger of being cancelled and such like in the future. Also, just being outmaneuvered by competition. Because if you're not willing to do it, there's other people in this market that seem to be willing to assist you.
100%.
Yeah. But to your point, Hal, I guess that only really makes sense in a corporate context if the procurement leaders themselves are willing to step up as leaders. Because actually, some of the thing in terms of the kind of commitment to net zero by a certain point, a lot of that is driven by the sustainability agenda being owned by an ESG leader specifically, or a marketing director sometimes. And so they try and find, the only thing they can do is find the big story that everyone else then has to respond to, versus actually having a procurement leader in the business who says, no, I'm willing to lead the supply chain, build an ecosystem, and therefore constantly be making progress around these areas. It's just a real shift in thinking around the role of a procurement leader and how a procurement leader interacts with the leadership team of the business. It's a real shift.
Fully agree. Now we have a very middle seat on the table.
Yeah.
And it's always with the kind of leadership, it comes into how they lead the culture as well. And it's not just them setting, you know, one-off goals and one-off projects, but kind of really embedding the sustainability or kind of innovation within that culture, within operations. In your experience, Nahal, what happens when companies kind of stop treating it like just the target they need to hit and they really start building it into culture and the leadership really pushes it forward?
First of all, agility becomes second nature. That's the most important thing. I mean, once they see this and they see how important it is, people become agile, they become empowered, they own the agenda, they feel like they're part of this and they want to do it. You would see, I mean, constant improvement. There would always be continuous improvement. It would be, I mean, we've been talking for years about growth mindsets, you know, the fixed versus growth mindsets. Once this happens, you really do see that the growth mindset starts to shine, and you can see how much it's delivering. So, yeah.
And where do you think the biggest gaps are between you know, organizations that say they want to achieve sustainability and vision and what they're actually kind of enabling through their leadership?
Well, first of all, I mean, they talk about long-term visions, but they don't associate it to where we stand today. Second one is they invest in digital solutions, digital tools that help this, track that, but they don't give the people the skills, the right skill sets to leverage this or use this efficiently. There's also the control part. They control, come with a mandate top down versus empowering the people and meeting them halfway with the bottom up exercises. And then last but not least is, I mean, with the crunch in talent and with the increasing inflation and so on. So we see a lot of people are stretched at work, constant firefighting. And we sometimes talk these numbers at these, big ideas and big things, and we want to think strategically, but people are too indulged or dwelling in short-term tactical and firefighting approaches versus having some time to take a step back and look at things strategically.
No, definitely. And then moving on to kind of the shifts that people can make and leaders should be kind of making and putting forwards, what shifts should they be doing to help make, you know, future-ready practices the standard and not just the exception or something that is a great add-on, but, you know, something that is really embedded and is expected throughout the whole organization?
I would say first, lead with example. I mean, if we want the organization to act or think in a certain manner, we need to start with ourselves at first. Empower them versus control. Be adaptable. Ask them, how do you see things? What should we be doing? Be curious. Involve them from the start. And set the stage, you know, for a strong and strategic foundation, and have some quick wins also to get people excited and enticed. And then also, I mean, empower people, make them feel part of this. And I'm also thinking ambiguity, embracing ambiguity. I mean, what differentiates startups from the big corporates is that they're quite flexible and adaptable and manage to see or manage to go with the flow. And there are a lot of things they don't know out there, but they just go in, they do an 80-20 assessment and dive in. And corporates are just too fixated, too rigid, too firm. We need to let go a bit and, you know, embrace the ambiguity.
No, I really like that one, embracing the ambiguity. And it's odd here, it was hearing that for the how to be future-proof. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, about the ambiguity and kind of being flexible in thinking, but also embedding that in the culture, as a leader, embedding that in the culture of the organization as well. I wonder, Nick, you've probably had lots of different conversations with different leaders. Do you find that, you know, that is the case, that the ones that are making kind of innovation and good change are the ones that are embracing the ambiguity side of it?
Maybe embracing the ambiguity, but I think also one of the opportunities for the new accelerator directly, actually, is like when you reach a point where you say, actually, we need to do things differently from a procurement standpoint, or we need to manage our supply chain in a different way. There is then, this is so much that needs to be done once you reach that realization. So I guess there's a lot of people that have now realized that their supply chain, which seemed very secure a couple of years ago, is no longer. Either because it's the pure level of disruption in the sense of elements of it are not working anymore, or because it's getting pressure either from regulation in different parts of the world, or to the conversation we're having before, more accountability around the supply chain from consumers. You know, new competitors entering the space sometimes where the supply chain is part of the differentiator. So you get all these kind of pressures coming in to companies around procurement. And I think what then needs to happen is me to think about what happens when you press the button and go, right, okay, so the old world is now then. We need to move into the new world. How do we do that? So I'm hopeful that's one of the things that the accelerator can really do in a structured way, is just think through the, you know, the step-by-step of an accelerator method that essentially is the same steps that we use when we're developing a new product or a new brand somewhere. But just right from the outset, it says, let's focus firstly on all of these different agendas and what it's going to mean for us. So in terms of supply chain, resilience, sustainability, new tech, which actually we haven't talked about as much yet, but the real power of AI, both for procurement processes, but also for, you know, all of the logistics and all of the way that we manage ourselves currently. But let's look at where those opportunities are. Let's choose those that are right for us in the next stage in the strategy. And then let's get into building out a roadmap for how we execute on that. And a kind of investment case in the sense of how do we tell the story to the rest of the leadership team and the rest of the business around where we're going to go? Because I think one of the really difficult things, I guess, around ambiguity is that there's this period when you've committed to change, but you haven't yet made all the changes yet. And at that point, you've still got consumers accusing you of things. You've still got people in the business being stressed around different choices they've got to make. So there's just this, I think a roadmap is really important to deal with ambiguity, I guess, to your question, Keisha, really, which is you got to say, okay, so there's certain things. We can't control the whole world around us. What we can control is our roadmap and the steps we're going to go to get to a better position in 6 months' time or a year's time. So it's kind of, maybe part of the way you can deal with the ambiguity is to be really concrete around the steps you're going to take in a way that you're really happy talking about to your colleagues in the business, but also to the market and to investors and to everyone else around you to say, okay, so this is where we are. This is where we want to be. This is how we're going to step through the steps to get there.
100%.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, thank you very much for bringing up the kind of responsible procurement accelerator. Like we've been talking about, it's kind of focused on how brands can rethink the way they kind of source, select and sustain partnerships and kind of building up that roadmap. But now, I mean, for you, what does a more future-ready, responsible procurement model or roadmap look like in practice? Could you give us some insights on that?
Yes. So, first of all, digitized procurement, whether it's end-to-end visibility of your supply chain, getting, you know, these risk alerts, having spend data visibility, predictive analysis, and so forth. Circular economy, how can you be sustainable from the start? Having the right BCPs, business continuity plans in place. Having the right supplier partnerships, right? Joint business plans with your strategic, you know, all the differentiated strategic, essential, and so forth suppliers. And having AI as an enabler, or a means to an end, not a tool that you use across. And have a hybrid local versus global supply chain. We've seen it with the pandemic, we've seen it with the sanction wars and everything. Being truly global is good, but once a small thing happens in country A, country B would be affected and you wouldn't get your service for whatever reason there. So how can we have the right mix or the right balance between global and local supply chains?
I think that's something that's not talked about enough. Let's say everyone talks about what happens when global supply gets disrupted, but they kind of, you know, they never mention about the local one. So it's really interesting how you brought that up. So thank you so much. And I guess, you know, all in all, I just want to say, you know, thank you so much, Nahal, for kind of coming on and sharing your thoughts with us today. I mean, we've covered lots of different things from kind of the biggest challenges that we're seeing in procurement today, but then also, you know, the opportunities, where they lie, what can be tapped into. But then also that leadership aspect of what it means to kind of be a good leader in procurement and how to change that and innovate what leadership in this space means. So thank you so much. And I mean, talking to the kind of people who are listening, if any of this has kind of resonated with you and you wanted to speak kind of more about it, or if you wanted to kind of innovate your procurement strategy and kind of act on some of the things that Nahal and Nick have been talking about, then potentially the Responsible Procurement Accelerator is for you. So you can find out more at labelsessions.com. But also, you know, you can connect with us, any of us directly through LinkedIn or other kind of social media places. I mean, we'd love to hear from you and explore what's possible together. So thank you so much. And especially thank you to Nahal for coming on and sharing a bit of your expertise. Very excited to do this accelerator with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.